Welcome all you Nerdist fans that typed the wrong thing into your search engine. This is Nerd Management.
Okay, that was okay.
Today we have with us my beautiful co-host.
The indoor kid himself, Alec Ward.
I'm sorry.
I, of course, am Warner Swopes, and my hair is here as well.
Yes.
And then we also have our good buddy intern Rob.
Hello.
And then our sound producer, Justin Richard Smith.
I actually made it tonight. Hi, guys.
Hey, what's up?
And we've got a special guest with us tonight. He's actually a thrice special guest.
He's a three-peat. Three-peat.
That's a good one, too.
Because yeah. I love noodles, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love
the Nerd Management hat trick.
Yeah.
I'm thinking you're just an honorary.
This is Chase from Indie PopCon going to talk to us about some of that goodness that we're very excited
oh,
for.
Oh, yes.
Hi.
Can you legally change great. Your name to Chase from Indie PopCon?
That's a possibility, yeah.
Okay.
Hey, I'm
okay.
going to the B&B tomorrow. We
Oh, can we ride together?
Yeah.
All right. Do I get to pick up the jams? Am I the navigator?
That's fine.
I'm totally chewing in it.
Breaking Bad.
So today I found out that that intern Rob has been using my identity on the gaming podcast.
Yeah.
And, like, I heard it in the
what,
first
the
one.
What's the gaming
I was like,
podcast
oh,
called?
That's
not just the gaming
Point
podcast.
Blank Gaming with Alec and Rob. I remember the first episode had it, and I haven't got a chance to hear the second one, but I did hear through the grapevine that he is using my identity
absolutely
in the podcast
absolutely.
And that's so weird to me, but it happens so often in comics and it doesn't really happen in real life. I mean, identity theft happens, that's a real thing, you should be worried. You should cut up your debit cards and leave all your cash
yeah,
under your
absolutely.
Bed
absolutely
no, great movie though.
Don't but trust the banks because they're lying to you, that whole thing.
The banks are lying.
Is this a LifeLock plug?
No, but this is
my LifeLock.
No, it's a drywall plug.
This is a thing that happens in real life, is people stealing identities. But what I mean is, nobody just takes on somebody's iconic role anymore. Like, that's not a thing that actually happens, but in comics it happens all the time. We're going to talk about one later when we talk about Cataclysm, I think. Am I right? I read about
yes.
it on the internet.
Yes,
so
yes,
yeah.
yes.
Okay, but then, like, several people have been Spider-Man, several people have been The Flash, several people have been Batman. You know,
Aunt May was a herald for Galactus.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have had a lot of positions
say
in comics.
What?
But if yeah. that happened in real life, you'd be like I'm noticing, and
I'm
trying to correct the fact that Alec is or that Rob is pretending to be me on this other podcast. But in comics, people are just like, meh, it happens. Whoever can be whoever. But I was thinking about this today. What if people did that in like real life, in like celebrity, like. So the Beatles don't exist anymore. But what if some four people out of Liverpool were like, "Hey, we're the new Beatles." What if that was like a thing, like in
and
music?
They just started doing "Hey Jude."
No, like wrote their new songs that sounded like Beatles songs, but it's like this is the new Beatles, everyone.
So then would they just spell it B E E?
No, spell it the same. I'm saying like
TLZ.
I'm saying just like when Bruce Wayne died and Dick Grayson was Batman for a little bit. I'm saying what if that happened in like in music?
Huh,
like, these bands are done. Like, suddenly we get a My Chemical Romance 2
well,
at some point.
The moral of the story is they still wouldn't make any money because of Pandora.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And I heard
there it is.
That. Yeah. That's true.
I think that's happened before, though. Well, yeah, like Queen.
The internet.
Okay, but I mean, are some original members. I'm saying.
Like,
this,
all new people.
I'm saying the band is done.
Straight up.
And then they pass
people.
Their name off to
gotcha.
Somebody else.
Kind of like what AC/DC did, where they had, like, hey, we found this guy who sounds exactly
right. or, like
our
like,
old
or,
like
I said, like,
but,
Queen. Like,
but that,
you know,
but that,
guys
that does happen.
Right.
That's
yeah.
like somebody died or somebody quit and they just replaced that one person. I'm
you
saying. I'm saying band is done. They sell their name to another band and the band keeps going as different people.
You know, the even more interesting thing to think about would be like, okay, let's say like the Rolling Stones, like they're all well past old. They're
sure.
like
yeah,
decrepit,
yeah, yeah.
But they're
scary,
still
right?
The type G.
Exactly.
Yeah, sure.
But what if they, like, you know, as one of the first, were like, we are going to auction off the right to use our name.
Yeah.
So where everybody, like, somebody could buy that, and basically they're buying the license
Rolling
to be
Stones,
able to call themselves the Rolling Stones.
Now.
Hold on. When does this podcast drop? Because
Monday.
We need to secure the
rights.
I'm thinking this is a
smart
idea.
Oh, man, I thought he was going to
kill like
the Rolling Stones.
Brokers for band names.
Oh,
like, they have to pay us to sell their band name, and then the other people have to pay us on the buying
to
end. So we get double dipping in this, and we just make buku cash.
And really, we're just holding on to it the whole time.
Yeah.
We're giving
yeah.
them Rolling Stones with like three L's.
And two tongues
yeah.
for some reason in their lips.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Anyway, you guys can see what I did. did yeah, it really close and weird. And
he did kind of a snake.
I didn't mean to.
I was choosing not to acknowledge it.
I actually did. Yeah, but thanks for bringing it up. I actually didn't mean to be weird about that. I didn't mean. So anyway, comics, right? Let's talk about
stuff.
Yeah, let's talk about the books of the week, which this week. This week we're going to talk about lots of books because, unfortunately, we talk like Chris Bana is some evil dictator, and he's not. He's a really sweet guy. But
no, he's not!
Because he's such a sweet guy, he wants this to be as good as we want it to be, and we are like unruly children. And if he's not here, so we break all the rules.
So what you're saying is we don't want any goodness to come out of this.
So when Chris isn't here, I always go off the grid a little bit and do something. We go rogue, if you will, kind of break all the rules.
Right now is like when our dad would take us to Toys R Us and just be like, just do whatever for like half an hour.
Yeah.
You just open up a toy box and put other toys in it and eat that
play
one
with
out.
The fake lightsabers and just start smacking.
Why did it look like that?
Because you have to like. To
help him, like, he's talking like Spaceballs.
You have to do it as hard as you
can.
Right. You have to whip it.
Seriously, Alec, that happened to me. I used to play indoor soccer when I was a wee youngin', and if I played as hard as I could, my dad would let me buy a Beast War.
There you go.
At Toys R Us. But he didn't know what it was. I was like, it's a Transformer! And so, like, I'm in my, you know, the shin guards and the jersey and the way too short shorts because, you know, we're young and there's probably a ref or something.
Sure.
Anyway,
that. Yeah.
Just hit the wall of Toys R Us and just bolt. This is the one I want!
Yeah. I always, maybe I was just weird, I always went for the lightsabers, but that's
No, that's cool. Hey, on that note, did you guys see that the Adam Driver got cast as the villain in Star Wars?
Did you know
that I probably have met Adam Driver at some point in my life because I used to live in Plymouth, Indiana, and he graduated from Mishawaka High School, of all places.
Who's Adam Driver?
He's
in
Girls.
The show Girls.
Girls, Lena Dunham's boyfriend on Girls.
Chase's girlfriend. Like, she's mean mugging him over there because he doesn't know who Adam
Driver
is.
Everyone
knows who Adam Driver is. He's like the sort of attractive, but only because he's a bad boy and he has like gross facial hair. He's that guy.
That's what I've been going for.
Yeah.
Yo, you well past that now. You're into tree beard territory.
He was also in talks to play Nightwing like a while back. I don't know. That's
we don't know what's going on with that.
I think he'd be a great Nightwing.
Oh yeah.
I don't think he's even up for that now because there was already scheduling conflicts with Girls and they were like, we just have to work around
First
it.
Of
so
all,
if he's doing Girls and Star Wars,
you should watch.
Honestly,
Girls. Anyway.
Girls
do you watch
comic
Girls?
Books sometimes.
Okay.
Guys.
You should absolutely watch Girls. It's great.
How did I become the bad guy here?
Because you don't.
No, I just said Adam Driver got cast. The bad guy.
So anyway,
I still love you.
Yay! I love noodles.
But seriously, Plymouth and Mishawaka High School would play against each other in the sports.
Sure.
And when I was a kid, he's 30 and I'm 27. So I'm thinking like at some point I would have gone to see like my sister go play volleyball or something and could have been. I don't know. He might have been there.
Maybe she was been dating hanging out.
Yeah. Just picking up volleyball.
What if your sister, like,
with his creepy goatee, he's like, hey, girl, what you doing after volleyball?
I'm
Adam Driver. He's
the squeegee guy that, like, when too much sweat gets on.
But nobody knows. And this, you say it like he's already a celebrity at that point, but nobody knows.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I hope.
Hey, girl, I'm Adam Driver. Soon to be, at some point in my life, basically the new Darth Vader.
I hope that's how he would bring himself up.
What
if? Even in high school.
Like he knew
he was someday.
Yeah, someday.
That's awesome. But then he went to IUPUI for.
How did we get onto this? I thought we were talking about comics.
We'll get there.
This is a nice break.
Okay, so anyway, let me just say I had a couple of books of the week this weekend. We'll start with those. First of all, I was right away, like as soon as I read The Flash, I texted Alec and said, Flash is my book of the week, and I had like 10 books left.
It was great.
But it was awesome.
Yeah.
This issue kind of tied in everything from that last issue where, remember we were talking about how Captain Fry was like weird about Nora Allen, Barry's
Fry
mom.
From drama?
Yes.
Not quite.
Oh.
So he's like, he basically raised Barry, and then he's like, listen, I know more about your mom than you think I do. And Barry's like, la, I don't want to hear what you're about to say.
Yeah.
This is gross. And he, like, ran away. Not, like, Flash mode running, but just regular human
running.
Yeah.
Like, crying.
Yeah.
Do you think he,
like for him?
Yeah, I was going to say.
No, but here's the weird,
like
here's the weird, but here's the weird thing that happened is,
yeah.
Here's the weird thing that happened is, in this issue, Patty Spivot, who's Barry's girlfriend, is talking to Captain Fry, and she's like, you need to help let Barry keep looking into his mother's death case. And he's like, listen, I know more about Barry's mom than anyone knows I do. And she's like, I think you would actually want to help him. And he's like,
since he's like your almost your real son.
Don't you realize that I raised Barry? And then she's like, yeah, I know. He thinks of you as his actual father. And then
Captain Fry
had this look on his face like, whoa.
Like, it's very heavily
like, it's pretty implied.
Like Arrested Development, like, oh, your father.
Yeah. It's pretty heavily implied that Captain Fry is actually Barry's dad.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Then it got me thinking, what if John Wesley Shipp is playing Captain Fry in the Flash show. Boom.
That would have been
he could be like a creeper, and then like all of a sudden they cast Nora Allen.
But you said he's more of a, like a, I guess. That would
he could
sense.
Pull it off.
Yeah, we could do it.
It'd be awesome.
It'd be cool. I'll do
Dude,
mine.
JWS is the boss. Like Tony Danza.
Yeah. I was hoping.
No, Angela was the boss in that show.
No, disagree. We got books to talk about. Go ahead.
Isn't that a community?
Yeah, it
where
is.
They have
oh, yeah.
Own...
Yeah, a whole course on it.
A whole course Abed's on who's
like,
the
no,
actual
Angela
boss.
Is the boss. In the literal, metaphorical, and analogical.
Yeah. And now they're doing all show. Nick Cage. Like, if Nick Cage is a decent actor or a really bad actor.
Oh, my God.
It's so good. Anyway.
Cool.
My book of the week would be Hawkeye, number 15, but even though it came out after 16.
But the reason they're doing that is because every other issue is...
A Kate Bishop and then Clint Barton.
Yeah.
It was just, from beginning to end, I mean, just like every other issue, it's been hilarious. And yes.
Was there any pizza dog in it?
Please?
No pizza dog.
A very small glimpse. It was in like a picture.
Just like a nip slip.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But
little side boob of pizza dog.
Yeah. Hey. But the very ending leaves on a kind of a big question. I mean, obviously, it's... I'm not going to spoil it, but it's a huge question mark, you know, as what's going to happen, and I thought it was fantastic, so...
Yeah, it was good. Then another one for me was... Aquaman 28, anybody?
I don't pick it up anymore.
Whoa,
so
you made a mistake.
Ever since PlayStation, Aquaman is cut off.
No, that game was terrible. But listen, Aquaman is awesome now, and you guys don't even understand. He in this issue, he just gets in a gang fight with sharks, like punching sharks in the face. Just like
bam!
Like he's punch in this one panel, he's punching two sharks and kicking another shark all at once. It was amazing.
Hey, if you're gonna fight sharks, that's the way.
So you can either read Aquaman or Black Dynamite.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the two.
Listen,
that's totally true. He stole it from Black Dynamite.
But then
stole it from Black Dynamite.
But then the issue gets better because after all this crazy action scenes, Aquaman comes back home to the lighthouse. And one of his old people, because he grew up a human before he found out who he was. Yeah. And one of the people there is like, oh, hey, it's so good that you're back, Arthur. I was hoping you'd make it back in time for the event. And then he's like, bleh. And then Mara's like, what? What's going on? Turns out his high school reunion is about to happen. But it's the most heartfelt, like, touching issue I've ever read because it starts with he's like, He's talking about why he doesn't want to go, and it's because when he was 13, there was a whale that had beached on the land, and so he's one of the guys he was in class with, or he's actually a senior when Aquaman is 13, was carving something into the whale, and Arthur felt it because of his telepathy, and he punched the kid, but he didn't realize his super strength yet, and just knocks this kid unconscious into a coma, and then he's like nobody that I went to high school with is going to want to see me because I knocked this kid out for months, so he's like really worried about it, and so he goes to the high school reunion, and everyone's like, hey, this crazy story while I was on the ocean, was that you who saved me? And he's like, it might have been. And so it's like all these people telling flashback stories of them getting rescued just kind of being really humble about it.
So he like saved everybody from his high school.
Yeah, and then like they're all talking about it, and they're like so happy that he's there and stuff. And it's just really touching to see like Aquaman doesn't realize all the good he's done for these people.
Yeah.
And then one of the guys comes to him and thanks him for what he did for him or whatever. And then he's like, actually, I work with that guy you knocked out in high school. And he's like, oh, man, does he hate me? And he's like, actually, he loves it. He brags about it every day. He's like, I got knocked out by Aquaman. He's like, he leaves out the part where you were in middle school and he was a senior. funny. Like, that's great humor. That's everyone good. Needs to go out and read that that's issue. Even if you don't read Aquaman, just go out and read that's it because it's
good.
Awesome.
That sounds good, yeah.
Do you got another book of the week?
Before I do one, why don't you do yours?
Okay, yeah.
Do it.
My
do
book
it.
Of the week is...
you can do yours.
Shameless plug. Waste of Space number 1 by Doodles Hanlon, which is a local artist and writer.
Yeah.
Basically, it follows the misadventures of Deshaun, Rocky, and Craig, a drunk robot, through space
already
on a on a hijacked plane to Pleasure Planet. Exactly. I'm not going to spoil anything because you guys definitely should pick it up.
Yeah.
But I'll say two things. Afro Gerbils and Jabba the Hutt.
Whoa.
Well,
yep.
In.
And there is a Firefly reference in there.
There is
well.
A Firefly reference and a Tribes reference,
nice.
Which makes me very happy.
Ooh, Tribes. Absolutely. Tribes 1 or 2, because, you know, Jetpacks.
Tribes 2, my
there
friend.
There you go.
Now, Waste of Space is only available at Comic Book University in physical, but it is available digitally on Comixology for $2.
Awesome.
So, what about you, Chase? Did you have any books of the week that you really enjoyed this week?
I haven't had a chance to read my books because I came by here and helped Rob on Tuesday. But we did, like, we pulled them all out and stuff like that. And the one that I'm probably, people wouldn't be happy with, I didn't realize they had a Serenity book out.
Yes, it is so good.
It is good.
And so, my own personal books, like, I could plug them, but I mean, one of them's Hawkeye and the other ones are just, you know, like Chew is always great, but yeah. I was really happy not only to see that they have a Serenity book out, but that its numbers, at least here, were doing really, really well.
Yeah.
You know, they ordered a good amount, and just it's selling, and you know, it's I'm really excited for that. So, like, not story wise, but just to see that's happening. And I had just read an article that January had been like one of the worst months for comic book sales.
Yeah.
There was only like one issue that topped 100,000.
Well,
so
that's also probably because so many of them weren't delivered.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
there's
true.
A lot of
that's true.
Yeah, but that. Even they showed like the reports for even the months preceding that and it was still dropping.
Yeah.
So it was one of those that I'm sure the delay had something, but like the sales just haven't been as good. So
moral of the story: quit buying diapers and buy your comics.
Yeah.
Kids who need them. Am I right?
Okay, did you have another one?
Ultimates Last Stand number 5. And actually, I wasn't a huge fan of this up until this point, and then this is actually the last issue of the whole, like, Ultimate Universe ending
Cataclysm
sort of
thing.
Yeah. It was just a cool issue. It had a lot of action, most of the action. There was kind of a lot of, and it kind of leads into the next thing, which is Survive, I believe is what it's called. A lot of questions left on the end. I always like just like a what's going to happen now sort of ending, and that it definitely had this. And you kind of mentioned it earlier, but
big time spoilers. I have no button.
Okay. Anyway, there are huge spoilers in this next part.
Here,
so
here's your button.
I like turtles.
Yay!
So cover your ears for a moment.
There you go. But in the last issue, Captain America died.
Right. We're that.
Ultimate version, though, right?
Right. And Storm picks up his shield.
Okay.
And she's just, like, she's standing very heroically with the shield, so...
Storm is the new Ultimate Captain America.
Right. Which I'm totally fine with.
Here's the thing. To me, and I laid this timeline out, and my apologies if you love any other Ultimate stuff.
Yeah.
For me, this is the timeline of Ultimate's books. Ultimate Spider-Man from beginning to current all happens in my head.
Yeah.
Ultimates 1 and Ultimates 2 by Mark Miller are the complete Ultimate story. You don't need anything else from the Ultimates because everything else...
What do you think this A stands for?
Yeah.
France.
This A doesn't stand for France.
Best line ever.
Yeah. So those books are great.
Pause. Can we quick pause? Have you seen the Captain America, the new movie on Canada Dry sodas?
No.
Yeah, Canada Dry has a Captain America figure on it right now.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That doesn't even make any sense.
I'm sorry. Please continue.
I don't even know where I was going with that. Ultimate Fantastic Four should end right after they meet the Marvel Zombies.
Yeah.
That's, like, that story was so awesome, and then everything after that kind of fell apart.
Yeah.
And that's what I think about the Ultimate Universe, is, like, there are certain things that are good, but a lot of it is not.
Yeah.
But the main thing is Ultimate Spider-Man is
Ultimate
consistently
Spider-Man's
good
been
all
fantastic.
The way through from the
Absolutely.
Beginning.
So,
yeah.
Real quick, I just want to throw in. So, you have, you know, Storm picking up the Captain America shield.
Yes, sir.
And in theory, it's the last stand, you know, finally Galactus gets to kill something. I personally, I, like... start that just keep going. Just, yeah, like, have, yeah, Iron Man go down and then have Storm put that on, well, you know, and just start taking everything and you just have, like, one mashup huge, well, superhero. Right.
And also...
It's the core of Storm.
And also, so what they do to get rid of Galactus is they open up this negativity or a negative zone portal, and Galactus gets sucked in there, as well as the Ultimate Thor.
Oh.
So essentially, Thor is also
dead. We got a hammer's up for grab. Yeah. Oh, no.
So essentially, Thor is also dead. But they're really just stuck in the negative zone. So, you know, really the only part of, like, the actual...
That's a real place.
Big three, the negative zone. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
You're welcome.
Oh, I love that show, by the way.
I can't wait for his, I think it's called Cosmos or whatever.
It almost looks like Cosmos, it's a spoof, though. Like,
Odyssey, I think, is what their name is. Okay. Yeah, it was just on NPR. Yeah. We were listening to it.
It really looks like a spoof. It looks like it's making fun of Doctor Who. I know it's a real thing.
He's a huge Doctor Who fan anyway,
yeah.
So.
It just was really weird when I was watching that commercial. I was like, is this a real thing?
So, in other words, in post-production, he's like... We need more TARDIS-ish
things. But don't touch it, because BBC will mess you up.
Neil deGrasse Tyson is, like, the coolest dude in the world.
And he's pretty great.
Incredibly
he was in Action Comics for
Was he?
Yeah.
He
always talked about liking how his body looked in the comics a lot better than
how it was
in real life.
It was one with Grant Morrison.
Oh, that's how comics
work. Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It was one of his last ones. I know that.
They add 100%.
Yeah. But anyway.
So then finally, my last book that I'm going to talk about this week was Fantastic Four number 1 by James Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome.
Yeah? Yeah.
Really?
And I think it's Mark Bagley did the art, so that means it's going to be fast.
Now, is this the Fantastic Four?
Nope, it was Leonard Kirk, who's even better.
Oh.
Look at this. You can't see on the internet. But
okay. Fin, fang,
foom. What's he showing us is genuinely something amazing.
Yes.
So the only thing, this issue is written, James Robinson does such a good job, and this shows in his New Invaders, he does such a good job of writing classic comic books.
Yeah.
Like, that just felt like old-timey Fantastic Four. Like, the things calling Mr. Fantastic Stretch, and, like, every time Mr. Fantastic gets on a long rant of science nonsense, he's like, we don't need any of that stuff, smart pants. We're just going to clobber everything. It's like so
classic.
Oh,
that is so classic.
All of the characters are really classic. And then he also hooked the thing back up with Alicia Masters, his blind girlfriend.
Hey, so way to go.
One of my favorite characters in the comic. She hasn't been around in a long, long time.
Not played by Kerry Washington.
No. That was a mistake. Anyway.
That was a mistake.
We're just going to sweep that under the rug.
But anyway, it's like really well written. The only complaint I have about the book is that for some reason they're in red and black costumes.
I have a theory.
Okay.
Actually, I should correct this before he gets angry at me. Rob, the owner of CBU, actually had a theory that since James Robinson is also writing the Invaders and the original Human Torch's costume was red, he thinks it's it would be a nice nod.
Yeah. Now, along those same lines, some of the older, late 60s, early 70s Fantastic Four, everyone had blue costumes except for the Human Torch, who had a red and black costume, and that was in reference to the original Human Torch.
Again,
so,
I did not come up with that. That was Rob.
So I don't know if that's where they're going with it, but the only problem I have had with it is, like, the costumes don't look bad. They're fine.
Yeah.
But the only problem I had with it is that they didn't explain it or even mention it. It's just like, you're just to accept
for no reason
they have new costumes. Yeah.
And it really does take place right after Fractions, right?
Right after.
They
just got back.
And they even kind of call back to it. You know, so it's...
So it's a little confusing. Maybe they needed a change of costumes because that was so dramatic. But even if they would have just said that, I would have been like,
Totes, whatever.
But it was such a good issue just overall. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. And I'm so looking forward to it because I love Fantastic Four. It's one of my favorite books. I have every issue after, like, Fantastic Four 78, and I have several before that, but, like, literally every issue from Fantastic Four 79 to Fantastic Four 600 to all of the relaunch with Matt Fraction and now this new number one, I have every issue.
Yeah.
So I'm super into Fantastic Four, and it was perfect for a Fantastic Four
fan. It was really good. It absolutely was.
And it's a great jumping on point if you're not a Fantastic Four fan. That's what I really liked. So you should probably check that out, and you can definitely get a copy at Comic Book University or comicbooku.com if you're one of the digital angle.
Right.
So, but you'll hear more about that after this break. Hey guys, if you like all the stuff we've been talking about tonight, make sure you get your comics from Comic Book University in the Greenwood Place Shopping Center at 7623 Shelby Street.
And if you'd like to buy them digitally, you can go to comicbooku.com.
And also, make sure to check out our affiliates at fanboyfactor.com if you want to see comic book reviews, toy reviews, news, and all that kind of stuff.
If you want all of your nerd news, know-how, general updates, and any of our podcasts, you can go to our website at www.nerdmanagement.com. That is www.nerdmgmt.com.
And don't forget, if you're in the Indianapolis area for Indiana Comic Con, on March 15th at 5 p.m., we'll be doing a panel with our friends from Kind of Epic Show about Indiana podcasting. Now back to the show!
When he goes...
All right, and we're back, everybody.
That got weird for a second.
It did. It was a longer break than normal, but it's fine.
Well, they'll never know.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a longer break for us because we got way off tangent.
But he goes, Mr. Murray, you think you're going to be okay? And he just looks at him. No, I don't think so.
So for some reason, they're talking about Zombieland over here. Yeah, anyway, we have Chase on today for the third time to talk about Indie Pop Comics. We're very excited about.
Please.
We're gonna all be there, repping the Nerd Management Squad. Yeah, yeah. So.
But more importantly, sir, it's time for you to drop some knowledge.
Are you from all that?
Yeah, tell us what's going on in the indie pop world these days.
There is so much going on. Unfortunately, we're still in that middle ground where there's a bunch going on that, we're waiting for just somebody to write their name on a piece of paper, and then that's called a contract filled out, and then we can talk about them.
A lot of guest stuff?
Well, I mean, and it's not that they are being slow. It's just... that's how it works.
A lot of it
is being shipped out to the person. Because there are a couple that I would love to be able to talk about. And then,
We should totally talk about it off the air.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we'll talk about
it
off the air.
I'm very excited about it.
But, yeah, we've decided for a lot of the different space we're going to have. A lot of what we're doing right now is starting to get the panels down in terms of figuring out the amount of space we have and who we're going to put in there. As well as that gaming area, which... You know, everybody that contributed to the Kickstarter, which was awesome, we now have this huge space that we're going to start putting a bunch of stuff. We're going to have card games, board games, video games, pretty much any and all gaming.
Live Quidditch.
I am a firm proponent of that because it's a possibility. I mean,
it's
a lot
fun to
of
watch.
College,
I don't think I could ever get into it.
Exactly. It's a lot of fun to watch. And I mean, the convention
hall
is huge.
It is still a sport, and therefore you can't get into it.
Okay. I can't get involved in any sports. I'm not good for it.
But aside from that, we have a community event coming up on the 28th. Luckily, I had help figuring out the details for that. It's going to be at Granite City, which is in Circle Center Mall downtown, which I went there the other day, and I spent way too much money. Not at Granite City, just buying things. Yeah.
Buying
things and stuff.
Sandstone.
Yeah, buying some wicked awesome t-shirts I don't even get to wear.
Went to Brookstone, got a massage chair.
Flagstone.
I just went across because Brookstone's right there, but then there's
Marvel.
those little booths, and I just got one of those people that no, I didn't do any of that. But anyways, so what we're gonna do is we actually have three groups, three games that are gonna be there, and those guys are doing Kickstarter for their games right now.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which are all, and again, I'm sorry, I'm bad with the information, but I know at least one or two of them have already far surpassed the goal they had set up on Kickstarter. So you'll be able to come out to Granite City. We're going to be doing playtesting of that game, and you'll be able to play it before it's been released and just have a chance to meet. Yeah, I'll be there. So I'll be there, and then all the rest of the PopCon people will be there. It's usually a lot of fun. So we have that. We're going to have another community event coming up, and then we'll be able to finally start making some of the final announcements because there's a lot that really – it stinks because, you know – being in this position, it's 90%, but you don't want to bring it up and then
and then someone backs out.
Backs out, or just it's an unfortunate timing, and then I look like the
exactly. Well, from your point of view, you're a fan, so you're excited when these people say I'm into it, but then you have to wait for their official
it's
trouble.
What are we talking about when you talk about the after parties? We talked about that a little bit before.
Yeah.
But we won't discuss the details, but another con that's coming up around the summertime has recently gotten in trouble because they had this super objectify women after party planned, and it got a lot of flack, and then they backed down, and then people were like, why are you canceling your after party? So they're like, what do? We can't win.
Was it called the Booth Babe Bash? Or that articulation?
I don't think so, but what what can we expect from the after party? Because I'm super pumped about that.
What we want to be able to do, like, I know one, it's going to be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and what we want to do is basically, for once, you know, the exhibit hall closes, we want people to have things to do for all age ranges, you know.
That's awesome.
And specifically realizing that, you know, a lot of people, a lot of gamers, a lot of enthusiasts and all that, like, are over 21. And, like, you know, so we want to have not only, like, certain events for some of the celebrities. Like, Joel Hodgson is going to be doing, I believe, at Crackers. He's going to be doing... I'm not sure if it's specifically like a riff track, but it's going to be something similar to
something
that.
Similar.
So then that'll be one of the nights you can go and do that. We're going to have an after party at a couple, I think, Cadillac Ranch, and we still haven't finalized a lot of it. But so there'll be those events going on. And
we
then,
get Joel Hodgson on the Mechanical Bull and Cadillac Ranch.
if he can get past me, because that's all I want to do is try to get the bull. It was great when I was working at Gen Con. It's when they had the MotoGP people there. And the Gen Con people were all intermingling in the bars. And I was the one guy who was just like, I want to ride the Mechanical Bull again.
I've known one person who rode a Mechanical Bull.
Oh, it's so much fun.
But it didn't end well for her at all.
Yeah. No, it usually doesn't. But basically,
shameful of it.
Right now, we're talking to a few downtown restaurants about working with us for being, like, basically co-sponsors with us. So that the entire time that PopCon is going on, they will be... kind of how Gen Con has it, where, like, they will augment their restaurant for our event.
Sure.
So they'll do, like, a menu for it. They'll have stuff on the TV, you know. And one of them we had talked about doing something where maybe even
so
we can...
So much Big Bang Theory going on.
One of them that I really enjoyed, they played nothing but, like, Marvel movies.
I love that.
And different stuff like that, like Hellboy and all those.
That sounds great. I would love to see Hellboy on a bar TV.
That'd be awesome instead of, you know... Bar sports.
We're
playing like Serenity or
seriously.
Yeah, instead of for board game playing.
High def, awesome.
Yeah. Except for I have a problem with
a
the Golden
Wii
Army.
Mac in your
in that the only thing, problem I have with the Golden Army, and I love Guillermo del Toro, love him a lot. All of his movies are great, and I love the Hellboy movies. But in Golden Army, the one elf speaks English. Then he's talking to other elves. They speak Elvish, and then he responds in English. Why don't they just pick one? Seriously.
Because probably the actor
totally
could learn the lines.
That's our nitpick of the week.
Yep.
Can we?
I mean, is that not something that they should have, like, somebody should have done something.
Is that the one where he has a baby, like, there's, like, an entire fight where he's holding
baby.
A baby?
Yeah, he has to save the baby because he's fighting that big plant monster.
Yeah.
So
I love both of them.
That'll happen
with
a lot.
Big Baby.
No, the movies are great. Don't get me wrong. They're awesome.
It's too late. You've officially come out. You hate the movie.
We've lost you.
Yeah.
I didn't understand why. And I hate when any movie does that. Like, people don't talk like that in real life. Like...
They don't speak Elvish?
If there are, like, bilingual families... They will speak, you know, whatever language isn't their language out in public. But when they're at home, they're all speaking the same language. I doubt they bounce back and forth every other word like Hellboy.
Actually,
the elves did.
He's 100% sure. I dated a Puerto Rican in high school, and
is that what they call themselves? Or a Puerto Rican?
No, a Puerto Rican. But she spoke Spanish.
Puerto American.
Puerto Rican.
Her entire family spoke Spanish to my face for 3 years. Like, you're gonna catch it eventually.
like it's some sort of disease.
Like,
you said that wrong. I think.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're not Rosetta Stone. Okay, I didn't pay $600 to learn this.
Trust me, this is contagious. Trust me.
However, nice I did learn what a book was eventually.
I met Rosetta Stone.
Romancing the Rosetta Stone, am I right?
She's a nice lady.
Real
nice lady.
She's Emma Stone's mother,
I believe so.
Maybe her aunt.
Sly and the Family Stone. Like,
she is the Family Stone.
Right,
she's taking this back over now.
Yeah. This is
y'all, we're on Sly and the Family Stone. I feel I'm good to jump back in.
So anyway,
Sly and
the Popcorn Stone.
Yeah, Sly and the Popcorn Stone. So right now I don't have, like, I went and I checked with a bunch of the members like for the Popcorn group and wanted to see if we had anything that we could. And like I said, we're waiting on some stuff. So... For all the huge, wide, vast, very loyal viewership that Nerd Management has, they should request me on in like a month when I have a whole bunch of stuff that I'd be able to drop for you guys.
We can do that.
Have an open door policy.
Yeah. You are welcome whenever.
Just back.
You're welcome whenever you want. You're always very entertaining. So.
But the thing I would love to now discuss is I believe a fellow who has been on here before, Mr. Gavin Smith.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I was recently able to commission him to do a art piece for me. And
I took a picture. We're going to put it on the Facebook.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It has been the highlight of my week.
it's pretty great.
It awesome. Really is. It's it is Dr. Octavius, classic, like some 70s, which
like
is really
weird.
Like that
old Elton John look?
Yeah. Like, did you guys... There was this this Vivid Entertainment movie that came out.
Sure.
Called Superman vs. Spider-Man.
What?
No, you guys ever heard of this?
No, tell us more.
Oh.
I bet it's great.
Now,
sounds awesome.
I am very fluent in what Vivid Entertainment is.
Very fluent. Rosetta Stone worked on him.
Yeah.
Is this some kind of thing we probably shouldn't talk about on the All Ages podcast?
We'll say there's not a lot of clothing. That
yeah.
Is Doc Ock in it? Is that what you're getting
at? That was the point I was trying to make is you have Lex Luthor in it and then Doc Ock. So Lex Luthor is Superman's villain and then Doc Ock is Spider-Man.
Cool.
But yeah, very much the same look, and I didn't...
Okay.
You'd have to reference
except
that.
Except for Doc Ock
is that
very close.
Gavin Smith to reference, like...
Yes. Yes, I want this specific Vivid. Because it looks like they just put, like, a bob haircut on top of them. And it's all, like... Since it's kind of lower budget, there's CGI effects.
What?
Their CGI effects are circa Anaconda days. So Doc Ock will be sitting there with a jacket on, and it looks like as if any of us were wearing a jacket. And he opens it up, and all of a sudden, just a lot of robotic tentacles.
Sure.
So, but anyways, that's the way. This.
I know how to read it.
This Doc's. That's how he's looking. And he's eating
a lot of Asian food.
Yeah.
Sushi.
Because you had mentioned before that you have this new art commission idea for the whole year. If you want to talk about that.
Yeah. So what I like to do is I'm really poor, but I love going to conventions and finding artists to do commissions. And I used to want Batman or this or that, and then I realized not only do the artists get asked that a bunch, but I mean there's so much already out there. And so I started customizing them, and eventually, I'd come up, and basically what I do is from, January 1st to the end of the year, any commissions I get are of a certain, topic. The year before last was Alan the Alien from the Invincible comic with a Viltrumite mustache. So I have, eight of those.
What color was it?
Oh, they're all black and white, so I couldn't afford no color. Okay, come on. I'm moving up this year. I get some full colors. So this year my theme is superheroes and or villains.
He makes the money, man. He rolls the nickel.
Right?
Eating food.
Make hail.
So right now I've got my Doc Ock.
I roll the nickels.
Yeah, I do.
It's our good friend Charlie there.
But yeah, I've got
He's
this
not my
one.
Friend.
I don't know.
And
I had a button for that.
Yeah, I know.
That's a good button.
Sorry.
Yeah.
We're just...
But yeah, so some of the other ones I got was Thor cooking a Hot Pocket on his hammer, Fing Fang Foom roasting the Stay Puft Marshmallow like a s'more. My favorite, which is kind of the hardest, I wish I had a picture to show, is one I got at another convention where Hawkeye is in the middle of the forest shooting a butterball turkey as if it was a live turkey. But, with the little nubbin,
Sure.
The best part was that when she drew it, she drew there was already one in, an arrow in it. So he walks up for the kill shot, and he has, his foot on top of it.
Who did that?
A very nice lady named August, who actually had, I've seen her a lot at anime conventions.
Okay.
But, yeah, then I have, Hulk trying to eat a taco. But he's so strong, he keeps breaking it, and then he's just crying.
We've all been there.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I cracked my taco.
And Iron Man just staring at an apple and looking pretty upset. So I'm excited.
It would be difficult to eat an apple or anything that's not through a straw as Iron Man.
But the best way, what I've done is I have 20 heroes and villains and then 20 pieces of food. And so I just take a D20 with me. And then I go up and I just roll. Now, there are some I was speaking with these fine gentlemen about before the show that I really want. But again, my movie viewing, apparently my artist commissions are not the most. things and stuff.
Yeah, we got
kosher.
So
I think we've got about 10 minutes for you guys to have your in memoriam that we had talked about.
I hate your smug.
I'm not being smug. There's nothing smug about it. I just hate. The thing is, I don't want this podcast to become a downer every time a celebrity dies. No. I totally want all the respect.
We'll just talk about the good happy times.
So, Alec, take the reins here.
Unfortunately, Harold Ramis passed away this week at 69.
And we're already on track.
So far, so good.
When Chris isn't here, we're all just a bunch of 10-year-olds. All right. Anyway, Harold Ramis, for those of you who don't know, is most famous for, I would say most famous for playing Egon in the Ghostbusters.
Correct.
Oh, yeah. Monster.
Can you give me his last name? You. I know it.
Ramis.
Well, no, not Harold.
Egon Ramis.
Spangler?
Okay. Yeah. You're good.
You guys are dogging on me because I didn't want to do this little piece, but Egon's my favorite Ghostbuster.
Are you dropping this?
He was my favorite.
I didn't want to make this all emotional for you.
He's the one who put
a celebratory one for
He's the one that put the brain thing to his head to figure out the pink goo.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he has...
If you haven't seen Ghostbusters, you guys are going to be so lost for the next 20 minutes.
Wait, I thought we had 10. Now we got 20? Double down. I want 40.
Egon was always my favorite because he was clearly the nerd out of the group. And being me, I was always the nerd out of the group.
Twinkie.
I really like his hair.
Yeah, and his hair.
Good hair.
Which he kind of always had, I think.
Oh, yeah. Did you see him, like, recent pictures of him? He had the best...
Was it all gray?
It was all gray, but it's all
we'll use the PC term.
Perfect.
He had the best Hebrew fro out there.
He-fro. Nah, that doesn't work. But, yeah. And, I mean, everyone knows any movie that he's ever touched. I mean, it's Caddyshack, Ghostbusters, like you said, Vacation, National Lampoon's Vacation, Groundhog Day. So, I mean...
Apologies to bring up the negative, but not any movie he's ever touched. Because we all do, though we try to forget, we do remember Year One starring Jack Black and...
I don't, because I didn't see
Michael Cera. It was very bad.
Yeah, no, I was willing to forgive him that one.
It was quite awful. Yeah. But other than that,
I was like, is this movie ever going to end? Or does it go through all of time to current?
That's it.
Just like Spider-Man, everyone gets one.
That's right.
Right?
Everybody gets one.
Yeah, that's fine.
But other than that, I mean, the films he did are comedy essential. When, you know, in 1,000 years, when aliens come down and they, you know, they
want to understand
they want to understand our culture, they're going to go for Caddyshack or Animal House. He was a part of that as well.
Absolutely.
And Ghostbusters. So, I mean, it's...
Because they're going to look on Rotten Tomato and see what happens. Well, they're going to watch so many Paranormal Activities and think that we're all just a bunch of weirdos.
They found the ghosts.
They're going to watch Paranormal Activity. Why is the girl standing at the end of the bed?
Yeah. I don't get it.
This isn't scary.
Why is it scary that when the camera slows down, you know something scary is going to happen?
Yeah.
That's not scary. That's foreshadowing.
Wait, those weren't real?
Nope.
What? I thought those were documentaries.
How does that go?
They are going to be like, why are all of their movies in the mid-2000s filmed with a hand cam? I don't understand.
What was that one movie? It's by Michael Bay, but it's like a found footage, like, time machine movie that it was on before Anchorman, that when we went to go see that. Do you remember it at all? I can't remember what it's called.
Oh, I do.
But anyway.
What was the gist?
Timeline?
It's a found footage.
I think it was Timeline.
Yeah. It's a found footage film about this group of friends that make a time machine. Well, when it first came on, the first thing is the found footage. And so Warren looks at me and he goes, a found footage horror film. This is going to be really good.
Real original.
Real original. It was hilarious. But anyway, back to Harold Ramis. I was upset when Philip Seymour Hoffman died, and we kind of talked about that.
But his was, I hate to say it and be all negative, but his was somewhat self-induced.
Yeah, absolutely. Whereas Harold Ramis died very much from kind of natural causes.
Well, like, sort of. He had some illness, and I don't remember exactly what it was. I think it was the same thing Mr. Freeze's wife had, why he had the freezer.
Yes.
Is that right? Am I on the same?
Yes. I don't know, but that was amazing that you were able to bring comics into it.
Complications of autoimmune inflammatory vasculitis. So, yes, Nora Freeze disease is what the lame layman's call it.
like Lou Gehrig's disease? Exactly. Awesome!
Nice Mr. Freeze plug.
Take two.
The only reason it was fresh. Whole reason it was fresh in my mind is because last night on Arrow, the Clock King was on it, and his the reason he's been busting up all these people for money is because his sister was dying. Correct?
With cancer?
No, it was not cancer. The disease was legitimately like actually the disease that Nora
she had cystic fibrosis.
No, but it's
and she needed a lung transplant.
But it's more specific than that. It's something. It's McGregor's disease. McGregor's disease.
She had cystic fibrosis and needed a lung transplant. Okay.
Somebody in Arrow last night had McGregor's disease, and that was a reference to Mr. Freeze.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
But anyway,
that's why I was.
Cheese Warner.
Sorry.
I won't go on.
I watched it late at night. I was tired.
Nora. That's my Mr. Freeze impression.
Why can't you talk about the animated series Mr. Freeze, which actually is awesome, instead of just...
Oh, yeah.
No,
oh,
guys, that was my impression.
You think, but to take life, that's true power.
Yeah.
But to give life, that's true power. That's George Clooney for you.
Anyway.
I thought it was like...
Comcast accidentally gave me the hub. I don't pay for it, but they play a lot of those old WB cartoons. And I watched an episode of Batman Beyond that I had forgotten about. I had grown up where he's just the head. No, not that one. The one where they find a way to cure Mr. Freeze, and he's like, "No, I'm good now." But then the cure fails, and he has a backup Freeze suit, and just goes crazy on the people who said they cured him.
Yeah. Batman Beyond is one of the
ape poop.
Yeah,
it was so much better than what people want to give it credit for.
Quick little trivia. Anyone know who played the voice of Batman Beyond?
Absolutely. It was, his name was Eric in Boy Meets World, but I can't remember what it is.
Will Friedle. Yes, and he played Corey Matthews' older stupid brother.
That's what I said. Eric.
He's going to go with Don Cheadle.
Whoa!
I was going to be wrong.
Close. But he's so suave as Terry McGinnis.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, back to Harold Ramis, guys. Stop getting me so sidetracked.
Yeah, we didn't do anything.
Terry.
I won't talk a ton about it, but it he will be severely missed, especially by me. I was going on. The Ghostbusters subreddit, and just for an entire two days, it was incredible. Yeah.
The pictures were so sad. The worst one, they kept getting worse too. Yeah. Like there was one where the power pack was sitting in the foreground of the image, and then in the background was Egon walking off with Slimer. I'm like tearing up. And then the worst one was I'm so bad at Ghostbusters stuff, guys. I'm sorry. I love the movies, but I can't hold that stuff in my head. Oh. The boxes that they suck the ghosts into.
Trap.
Yeah. Is that all it is? It's just a trap?
It's just called a trap.
Contain the trap.
So there's a containment.
It's real tough, there's a containment trap
with Egon like in it as a ghost.
And he's just like
and the other Ghostbusters waving at him. I'm like you. Yeah, I'm like crying.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And like this is the saddest thing.
The saddest thing that I saw. It wasn't like a drawing. It was an actual like real life. But it was the firehouse that they actually had that they used during the movie. They had like this big memorial thing, and there's just a bunch of Ghostbusters or people in Ghostbusters attire just kind of sitting out like having a memorial. And I was like,
Way to pull on my feels.
Exactly.
Yeah. All my feels got sucked into power packs that day.
Onions for
containment
days.
Traps.
And you know what they did? They crossed the beams.
Power pack. The power. They shoot the streams and it
weakens
them. Then they.
Okay. Well,
and then they put them in. The,
it's been
the
years. Supposed it's to been cross years.
Them, you know? That's a big Twinkie.
Yeah.
I hate you.
I love the movies. I never got into like that subculture of Ghostbusters, like huge fans that buy.
Well, then
the
you
toys
can just
stuff.
Leave.
I'll just say this. I'll just say this, and then we can stop. Ghostbusters is one of the reasons why I became a nerd and who I am today. So that's why it's very important to me.
I can appreciate that.
Aim for the flat top.
Yeah, absolutely. Aim for the flat top.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yep.
But we still love you, Warren.
That's okay. Yeah.
But just a little bit less.
That about wraps it up. I'm probably fired now from Nerd Management. May not ever be
the podcast you started.
But that about wraps it up. Do you have anything else for us, Chase, before we go? Anything else PopCon related before you tell us all the secrets off the microphone?
Woo, secrets!
Yeah, we promise not to record and post it.
Can I love end, noodles.
Can we end on you and be like, okay, guys, this is
the best. Yeah, and then just like,
seriously, like, actually set it up for us. Tell us the biggest announcement you guys have for Indie PopCon. Go for it.
I'm not telling you nothing. Yay, this is what's going to happen. What we're going to do is...